Part 3. The Habits of Societies. Chapter 8. Saddleback Church and the Montgomery Bus Boycott. How Movements Happen. 1. The 6 p.m. Cleveland Avenue bus pulled to the curb, and the petite 42-year-old African-American woman in rimless glasses and a conservative brown jacket climbed on board, reached into her purse, and dropped a 10-cent fare into the till. It was Thursday, December 1st, 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama, and she had just finished a long day at Montgomery Fair, the department store where she worked as a seamstress. The bus was crowded, and by law, the first four rows were reserved for white passengers. The area where blacks were allowed to sit in the back was already full, and so the woman, Rosa Parks, sat in a center row, right behind the white section, where either race could claim a seat. As the bus continued on its route, more people boarded. Soon all the rows were filled, and some, including a white passenger, were standing in the aisle, holding on to an overhead bar. The bus driver, James F. Blake, seeing the white man on his feet, shouted at the black passengers in Park's area to give up their seats, but no one moved. It was noisy. They might not have heard. Blake pulled over to a bus stop in front of the Empire Theater on Montgomery Street and walked back. "Y'all better make it light on yourselves and let me have those seats," he said. Three of the black passengers got up and moved to the rear, but Park stayed put. She wasn't in the white section, she told the driver, and besides, there was only one white rider standing. "If you don't stand up," Blake said, "I'm going to call the police and have you arrested."
"You may do that," Park said.
The driver left and found two policemen. "Why don't you stand up?" one of them asked Parks after they boarded.
"Why do you push us around?" she said.
"I don't know," the officer answered. "But the law is the law, and you're under arrest." At that moment, though no one on that bus knew it, the civil rights movement pivoted. That small refusal was the first in a series of actions that shifted the battle over race relations from a struggle fought by activists in courts and legislatures into a contest that would draw its strength from entire communities and mass protests. Over the next year, Montgomery's black population would rise up and boycott the city's buses, ending their strike only once the law segregating races on public transportation was stricken from the books. The boycott would financially cripple the bus line, draw tens of thousands of protesters to rallies, introduce the country to a charismatic young leader named Martin Luther King Jr., and spark a movement that would spread to Little Rock, Greensboro, Raleigh, Birmingham, and eventually to Congress. Parks would become a hero, a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and a shining example of how a single act of defiance can change the world. But that isn't the whole story. Rosa Parks and the Montgomery bus boycott became the epicenter of the civil rights campaign, not only because of an individual act of defiance, but also because of social patterns. Parks' experiences offer a lesson in the power of social habits, the behaviors that occur unthinkingly across dozens or hundreds or thousands of people, which are often hard to see as they emerge, but which contain a power that can change the world. Social habits are what fill streets with protesters who may not know one another, who might be marching for different reasons, but who are all moving in the same direction. Social habits are why some initiatives become world-changing movements, while others fail to ignite. And the reason why social habits have such influence is because at the root of many movements, be they large-scale revolutions or simple fluctuations in the churches people attend, is a three-part process that historians and sociologists say shows up again and again. A movement starts because of the social habits of friendship and the strong ties between close acquaintances. It grows because of the habits of a community and the weak ties that hold neighborhoods and clans together. And it endures because a movement's leaders give participants new habits that create a fresh sense of identity and a feeling of ownership. Usually, only when all three parts of this process are fulfilled can a movement become self-propelling and reach a critical mass. There are other recipes for successful social change and hundreds of details that differ between eras and struggles. But understanding how social habits work helps explain why Montgomery and Rosa Parks became the catalyst for a civil rights crusade. It wasn't inevitable that Parks' act of rebellion that winter day would result in anything other than her arrest. Then habits intervened, and something amazing occurred.